Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Tonight we're discussing education costs and student loan consolidations. This is really important information that we're going to talk about tonight, especially for those students who are about to embark on a college education, and in particular for those who are finishing up and thinking, what are we going to do about those student loans? So really some important information tonight. We are live. We will take your questions. Lori Catanzaro is in the studio with us this evening. She'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810. I have a guest this evening in the studio with me is Loretta Tubiello-Har. She's a CPA and certified valuation analyst with a Bachelor of Science in Accounting from Villanova University. She's a member of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants, and the National Association of Certified Valuation Analysts. Loretta has over 35 years of public accounting experience in total, 11 as a partner with the top 40 regional accounting firm, 4 as a partner in a small local accounting firm, and 18 in a privately owned accounting practice. She served a variety of industries, concentrating in consulting for the closely held businesses, CFO advisory services, tax services, business valuations, and employee benefit plan audits. She also is on the Speakers Bureau for the PICPA. So welcome to the show, Loretta.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Loretta and I are both members, as I mentioned, of the PICPA, which is the Pennsylvania Institute of Certified Public Accountants. And as part of their mission to educate and inform consumers about accounting topics relevant to the everyday person, they brought to our attention the topic of student loan consolidation scams. So let's share tonight some of the ways students and parents can prepare for the high cost of education, ways to manage that, and if you have to borrow, smart ways to do so and to be careful. So most of what we will talk about tonight will be student loans. But Loretta, I thought it would be helpful if first we could discuss some ways to manage the education cost before we get those loans. And Loretta, you have a daughter in college right now?
I do, freshman.
Now, is it your first in college?
It's my first and only.
Oh, okay.
So this is a brand new experience for me as well.
Okay, well, I have three. And so we want to talk a little bit about different ways maybe that we can talk about how we can prepare for college maybe before the kids get there. So what are some ideas to help manage the education costs?
Well, Lori, the biggest opportunity to manage the high cost of education is through scholarships. The most known scholarship opportunities are for students that have special talents or abilities that might help them get the scholarship, such as athletics. There's also opportunities to choose schools that will assist with funding in some way. Many schools have both merit and financial aid scholarships. Financial aid scholarships are based on need, and many schools use the FAFSA form, which we'll talk about later, to determine that need. Merit scholarships are a lot of times based on your high school GPA, your ACT scores, your SAT scores, your athletic ability, and understand, a lot of students don't understand this, a lot of parents don't understand it, that it's not just for the first year. You can apply for scholarships throughout your education. So perhaps you might not have qualified when you were a senior in high school, but maybe when you get to college, you're a stellar student, your grade point average has now gone up, you have this opportunity now to maybe apply for scholarships for your sophomore year.
I think that is a great point to make, because I'm not sure I would have even have thought that. I was lucky enough that both of my first, I have three I mentioned, my first two daughters both received scholarships. My oldest, it was for her academics, and my middle daughter received it for sports. So the academic one covered part of the tuition. The athletic scholarship covered everything. So that was wonderful. I really appreciated that, and it was a real win. And my kids, I just constantly gave them accolades for really working hard in school. It was like a full-time job for them. The one to do so well with academics, and the other one to do so well with her athletics. So what ways can kids find scholarships that aren't as obvious? Because we hear about, like you said, the athletic and the academic.
Yes, and there are some interesting ways. But before we get in that, I just want to let the listeners know that 90% of college students don't apply for scholarships.
Oh, wow.
That is amazing to me. Unlike debt that has to be paid back, this is free money. It's not taxable. So think of the odds that the college students that are the 10% that apply have in favor of those 90% mm-hmm. that aren't even in the game. Right. To me, that is so interesting. Right now, the summer might be too late for the fall semester, but not necessarily, and I'm going to talk about a couple of those things. But you can jumpstart the application process even for the following year now. Most applications have to be in the February-March timeframe for the following fall semester, so keep that in mind. But, you know, if you're starting now, when the students get home for the Christmas, New Year's holiday, they can, at that time, kind of button up those applications to get them in time. So it's a great time to be finalizing them. I challenge parents a lot of times now to view the scholarship application process as a full-time or part-time job.
Yeah.
I'm actually telling my daughter that I'm expecting her to work 8 hours a week on looking for scholarships. The return on investment on their time is essential, and I'm going to tell you a story about that a little later. As I mentioned before, scholarships are not once and done. So you can apply each year that you're in school. There is an app out there right now that is kind of brand new. It's a couple years old, and it's interesting because the founder is from the Philadelphia area. It's called Scholly. And if you listen to Shark Tank or you watch Shark Tank, he actually came on the Shark Tank show to get investors, which he did for his idea here to advance students to get scholarships. So basically what it does, it connects the students with scholarship funds that go unclaimed every year. It's estimated that $100 million a year goes unclaimed in scholarships. That to me is incredible. So they match the high school and college students with fitting scholarships. And basically what you do is you enter your key parameters, such as your home state, your race, your gender, your GPA, and your major.
I'm getting my son on this.
I know. It's incredible. You don't necessarily have to be that stellar student either, because, again, if you put your GPA in, and it isn't that 3.9 or whatever, it might be in the threes or even in the 2.5s, 2.7s. You still have scholarship opportunities available to you. But of course, if you are a stellar student, the opportunities exponentially increase. Okay. But it seems to me that if you can write well, you can get scholarships. Okay. Now, the cost of this is only $2.99. Okay, and they even mentioned,
is that the app?
This is the app.
$2.99 for the app. Very good.
And now a list, then, once you apply, is generated with possible scholarship opportunities. You make the decision on whether you want to remove them from your app or you want to save them and begin the process. Many want essays, some allowing applicants to talk about anything. Some have a specific theme. Some want you to do a video. Some maybe want you to do a design or come up with a marketing program. It's very interesting. The scholarships are then sorted by due dates. So if you go on now, they're going to actually give you the scholarships that are due maybe June 15th and June 30th. So you can start with them, begin your process to get those completed before you go on to others. The app provides sample essays from past winners of scholarships to guide students in the application process as well. So this, to me, is an incredible opportunity.
Great, Loretta. The whole hour of the show is worth just that piece of information. And folks, we have even more to go. Lots more of information. This is wonderful. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening CPA Loretta Tubiello-Har, and we are discussing how to pay for college, ideas for paying for college, and as we go through the hour, we're going to talk about student loans, different kinds of student loans, avoiding loan scams, and talking about consolidating student loans as well. So lots and lots of information. And if you have questions, you can talk live on air with us or off air. You can give your question to Lori in the studio. She'll write it down and bring it in if you don't want to talk live on air. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And right before we went to that break, Loretta was telling about a wonderful app that matches up scholarships that have gone unclaimed with students who may be interested in getting these. And it was kind of promoted on the show Shark Tank. And this app costs $2.99. What's the name of that app, Loretta?
It's called Scholly. S-C-H-O-L-L-Y.
So folks, you can just search for that in the app store and see if that might be something you're interested in. But another thing that Loretta had mentioned is if you make this kind of a part-time job for your student, why not have them work for this a little bit? It's really found money when we're talking about scholarships. It's found money. And 90% of the students don't even apply for
That's
scholarships.
Correct.
So, hey, WDIY listeners, this is the opportunity for you to talk to your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews. What a great opportunity to kind of go look for money. Are there any other kinds of opportunities out there for folks to find ways to help pay for college without taking loans?
Absolutely. There are other scholarship places on the internet because, you know, when you and I went to school, we didn't have that internet opportunity.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it is incredible what is out there now to help students to find these, you know, these various things. But there are scams, so you have to actually watch out for them. But a few more bona fide websites out there is collegeboard.com, collegenet.com, fastweb, scholarships.com, and scholarshipsmonkey.com. And then besides those, you know, your high school looking for postings to your guidance counselor, the financial aid offices of the colleges that you're going to be attending. Many alumni put out scholarships for the college students. Your local library. Ask the librarian for known local scholarship organizations. You can acquire a local community organization such as the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, 4-H, Lions, Rotary Clubs, churches, and other religious organizations. And then there's the other one, the parent's employer. Many times, you'll find that the employers, especially the larger companies, will have some sort of scholarship program. And I have an employee that told me just the other day when we were talking about me doing this show, and she said, you know, my father asked me to apply at his work, and she said, I wasn't a stellar student. She said, I wasn't going to do it. And her father convinced her to do it, and she ended up getting $5,000 a year for 4 years. through her father's employer.
Wow.
So that's a great story. But you do want to avoid some pitfalls. Don't start too late. Don't limit your search. You can go nationally, actually. You don't have to just go in the area. And the other critical piece is don't write a cookie cutter application and then try cutting and pasting it for other applications unless they're about the same. I mean, you have to make sure that you're tweaking the application for the specifics of that request on that particular scholarship. Don't expect to get everything on the first try. So my suggestion would be maybe go for the smaller ones and the easier ones first. And once you get used to doing it, you start applying for some larger money.
Yeah.
And a story I have, my nephew Logan.
Logan.
He said he would be listening. He's in school for welding. And he had a friend that he met school who was 100% covered by schooling with both her scholarships and her financial aid. And she told him about the American Welding Society, that they would get a national organization that would give out scholarships. So he said he had to write a 500-word essay as to why he was pursuing a welding career.
Which 500-word essay is about a page long.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what made him stand out from others doing the same. And then he also applied at other scholarships, and they wanted such things as what types of experience that he might have had as to be a leader. And they also asked for copies of the high school and college transcripts and statements of financial need, and many asked for references, so it's very important to get your letters of recommendation. So he applied 11 different scholarships. He spent 6 hours on those applications. He received $3,000. But it was made up of several different ones through the American Welding Society. That's $500 per hour, Lori.
Yeah.
What a return on your investment for your time, right?
Yeah.
Right? So Logan's only regret was that he didn't start it sooner. He was a junior.
Yeah.
And so he only has one more opportunity as a senior to get this scholarship money. And so another moral of that story is don't forget about looking at the national organizations affiliated with your pursued career, because that will have some opportunities for scholarships.
You know, one of the other comments when you say $5,000, $6,000, whatever.
$3,000.
$3,000 for 6 hours of work, which was $500. But if we actually consider what would have happened if he didn't get that money, he would have had to have taken a loan.
Exactly.
And that loan at 4%, 5%, 6%, 7%, 8% interest would have actually cost him so much more money in the end that he probably really, in fact, saved himself more than $500 in
it. That is very true. And not only that, because it's free, it's tax-free money when you think about it. If it was taxable, you would have had to have more money in order to net that three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is incredible information. We're going to talk a little bit about, I think, 529 plans, loan consolidations, avoiding scams and different aspects of the college process, the college cost process, as we go through the rest of the hour. I'm coming up on my next break, so I just want to remind folks, if you have questions, you can call and talk live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we also, I want to just mention and thank again Loretta for being here from the, as a representative of the PICPA, and we really appreciate all that the PICPA does for consumer education, and we invite you to visit that website at picpa.org for more information as well on college cost and other topics as well if you're interested in them. So again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day.
Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me Loretta Tubiello-Har, and we are talking about ways to pay for college and then the repercussions of paying for college with student loans. So we just talked about some great ideas for applying for scholarships using an app called Scholly, S-C-H-O-L-L-Y, or just applying online using various resources that she had mentioned. And if folks can't get scholarships, and again, I can't help but repeat this statistic though as well, sorry Loretta, that 90% of the students aren't applying for these scholarships. So we really want to invite people to think about doing that first, as a, you know, it's free money. So let's say the kids didn't hear the show, they didn't know. We have parents who might think, well, we should save just in case all the scholarships aren't going to cover everything. If parents don't have the money to pay for it out of pocket, or some parents are paying for it out of pocket, we'll talk about loans later, they do have an opportunity to start saving early before their kids go to college. And those are called 529 plans. So can you talk for a minute about what a 529 plan is? Let me give the phone number one more time, 610-758-8810. So what is a 529 plan?
Well, it's a qualified tuition program that allows an individual to make contributions to an account or a program to be used to pay qualified higher education costs for the beneficiary of that account. Most people know them as 529 plans because that's the code section. Okay, but two types of plans are available. It's the prepaid program, which are contributions that are used to purchase tuition credits for a designated student. And then there's also what they call savings account plans. Contributions are made to an account that's established to pay for a designated student's tuition. Generally, you can contribute up to $14,000 per year per beneficiary. So if you have two parents and one child, the parents could put up to $28,000 per year into these plans for that child. The funds stay in that account and accumulate earnings on the investments until the funds are needed for college. If the funds get used for qualified expenses, which generally is tuition, fees, books, supplies, equipment, room and board, the earnings on those accumulated on that funds are never taxed if it's used for college education. So each state has its own investment program. You can choose any state's program to begin investing. And once per year, you can move to another state's program if you so choose. There is a great website out there called savingforcollege.com.
Reference it often.
Yes, I do too. Everything you want to know about 529 plans is on that website. So remember, savingforcollege.com. I had a client before the 529s came out that invested in Microsoft, and he did extremely well. And he was using these funds for his two girls' education. And they were right next to each other. One was going in sophomore, the other one was going into freshman year. So he was really having to pull out a ton of money out of his accounts. And his big issue was that he had such large capital gains on that Microsoft that he not only had to take the money out to be able to pay the college education for the kids, he had to take it out to pay the taxes mm-hmm. on the money he had to take out. You know, through net 529s now, that's not a problem, because as long as you invest in the 529 account, the earnings on those gains are the gains are not taxable anymore.
Right.
PA allows you to take a deduction against taxable income for the contribution, and there's no deduction, though, for federal. If the funds aren't used because the child may get a full ride, and that's some of the questions people say to me, well, what if my child gets a full scholarship and I don't need that money? One option you have is to change the beneficiary to another member of your family. That could be your current beneficiary's brother and sister. It could also be a cousin. You could even move the beneficiary up or down the family line. So the beneficiary's child could get it, or even yourself as a replacement beneficiary. But if the funds don't get moved and are distributed without being used for education, there is a 10% penalty on the earnings.
Okay, so if the funds do not get moved or distributed without being, 10% penalty. So if there's the scholarship, they can remove them. They just don't have the 10% penalty. It's like an exception to the 10% penalty. So they'll pay tax on the earnings, but not the 10% penalty for a disqualifying distribution. One other item I just want to note with the gifting amount, the $14,000 per person, you know, per child, that is to avoid gift taxes or having to file a gift tax return. There is a mechanism where you can donate more or contribute more, not donate more, contribute more to a 529 account. The IRS lets us do 5 years at once. We still have to file a gift tax return for that, but they'll let us spread it out over the 5 year period. Or if people want to overfund it, then they have to file a gift tax return. When you file a gift tax return, it doesn't mean you're paying gift tax. It just means that you might be using up some of your lifetime exclusion if you're someone who has a really big federal estate, because our federal exclusion is $5,450,000 each now. So it starts eating into that. Loretta, we had a call come in, and it's off air. Luke called, and he said he's 15 years out of college. He consolidated his student loans in 2004-2005. Any opportunity to lower interest rate or restructure or reconsolidate the loan at this time? Now, we are going to talk about that student loan. So, Luke, I hope you can listen to the whole show, because we're building up to that, and we definitely want to talk about this, and in particular about the scams that might be out there on loan consolidations. We want to warn people about that. So we're coming about 2.5 minutes to our next break, Luke, and I want to give Loretta plenty of time to talk about that. So please continue to listen. If for any reason you miss it, you can always come back and listen to the podcast at a later time, which you can access through wdiy.org or through yourfinancialchoices.com. So, Loretta, with, you know, we have just a couple minutes before our next break. We've been talking about scholarships, talking about 529s. If folks don't have that, this is when we have to sometimes apply for aid. Does everybody get financial aid?
Oh, unfortunately, no. Most people don't. And we'll talk a little bit about that later, about the thresholds. And the problem basically is that when you're coming out of high school, you know, you are a dependent of your parents. And a lot of the income is based upon your parents' income level. And many times they're well above the ability to get the financial aid. At that point, it's a real problem, because the parents don't have the additional discretionary income to actually pay full boat for the education.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go by other means.
And that's where we end up falling into the loan track. So when we talk about financial aid, sometimes that's like the grants, the Pell Grants and different types of grants. I know when I was a kid, I think they were called the BEOG and the something else. There were different names for them. But
and I believe there were Pell Grants back then, too.
Oh, okay.
I remember those.
Oh, okay. I think I was older than you. But anyway, so then when we're applying for financial aid, folks, a lot of times I am surprised by how many people think that they're going to qualify for financial aid, not realizing that the income levels aren't so high to kick you out of that. I have had high net worth clients who think they're going to qualify for financial aid, and I have to tell them no. About the only thing you might qualify are student loans that are unsubsidized. So we're going to talk about what loans look like, what financial aid, well, what the loan process looks like, and then Luke, we're going to get to covering your question as well. So our next section will be much longer, and we hope everyone can stay tuned. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert here on WDIY Allentown. Lehigh Valley weather currently 85 degrees, going down to a low of 58 tonight. Tomorrow, Thursday, patchy fog after 5 a.m., then mostly sunny with a high near 80. Thursday night, a 50% chance of showers, low around 62. That same 50% chance on Friday, with clouds and Friday's high 80. Friday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, low around 60 degrees. For Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 84. And Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers after midnight with a low around 64. Back to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert and her guest.
Thank you, John. We are talking about student education costs, student loan consolidation, and I have in the studio with me this evening Loretta Tubiello-Har from Tubiello-Har and Associates, LLC. Thank you so much for being here, Loretta.
Thank you very much, Lori.
And we're both members of the PICPA, which I want to give a shout out to them as well. And lots of consumer information on their website, picpa.org. At the top of the page, you click Consumers. And when you click on that, you'll see lots of information that may apply to you in many areas of your financial life. So we are talking about education costs. We've covered an app that's available for folks for finding scholarship money that had not been claimed and matching that up to students who may still be in need. So we want to get people checking that out and just applying for scholarships in general. We've talked about 529s, the basics of 529s. It's a great way to save for education. And if used for qualified education expenses, you can experience tax-free growth on those investments, again, if used for qualified education expenses. Sometimes folks don't get these scholarships. They don't have 529s. Maybe they have parents who aren't going to help pay for it. So they're pressed into applying for student loans. So, Loretta, can we talk a little bit about what kind of student loans are available and what kids need to be aware of?
Sure. But before we go into that, Lori, I'd like to just talk about where the listeners can get more information.
Okay,
because,
great.
You know, we have a half hour, right?
Right.
Yeah. And we're not going to get through everything, but this information is readily available to everyone. And then I want to discuss what a student loan actually is. And that will, I think, is very, very important because I think students don't realize what they're getting themselves into. The first thing on where to find this information, I found there's a gentleman out there that has a website called The College Investor, and his name is Robert Farrington. He did a guide. It was called The Definitive Guide to Student Loan Debt. Now, this guide is nothing different than what's on the Student Aid government website, okay? But what he does is he puts it in this logical order that makes it easy for you to read. And then if you really want to delve into more detail, then you can go onto the Student Aid website, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So that one, so that is a really good opportunity. It's called The Definitive Guide to Student Loan Debt. You can just Google that, and it will come right up. It's a free guide. It's incredible information. It tells you not only about student loan debt, but he also gives you sites and links to other things that that we're talking about mm-hmm. tonight. The other main source and where you really can get everything and anything you want to know about student loans is the federal government's website, which is called studentaid.ed.gov. Right, that's where you get it, www.studentaid.ed.gov. And again, those sites have numerous links, which are incredible information for people.
I love the government sites, believe it or not, because there is so much information and it's there for us. And if people just take advantage of it.
Right, but that's the other problem. There's so much information that it's hard and people get overwhelmed.
Right.
So I think Robert Farrington has a great way of putting it in order. And then you can go to the website then and really look a little
know
bit
what
more.
You're looking for.
Know exactly what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about student loans in general. This is most likely the first time in a young adult's life that they are experiencing debt. And however, since the student's loans don't typically come by the normal channels of walking into a bank and borrowing money or financing a car, I'm not sure that a college student, when they sign those forms, that they understand the full impact of that future responsibility.
Well, I even for myself, I recall it was, I have to do what I have to do to pay for this college, and I would just go in and sign forms. I did some short-term loans from the university itself, but it was, I have to do what I have to do. This, you know, I don't have a lot of choice here, but...
Absolutely. So, but, and the other interesting part is that the time for payment isn't immediate. So, you know, you're borrowing in your freshman year, you don't pay on that for 4 years and 6 months later.
Right.
So it's out of sight, out of mind, and so you're not worrying about it. Okay, but it's debt. I mean, that's all we can say, really, is it has to be paid back. It doesn't go away, and it becomes a part of your financial record and your credit report and a part of your monthly expenses once it has to start to be paid back. And whether you have the means to do it or you don't have the means to do it, unfortunate circumstances do come up, it's still your debt. Give an analogy, you finance a car and the bank takes the title to your car as collateral. And you can't sell that car without the bank knowing. They also will want to get paid if you do decide to sell that car. And if you fail to make your car payments, the bank will come in, they'll repossess the car, and then they'll pay off the debt. But when you're a student, what's the collateral? All right, the collateral is
your skin.
Exactly. The future earnings potential of that student is the collateral.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no tangible property here that any lender can hold on to for those loans. So therefore, to prevent the student from skipping out on the loan, the agreement signed by the student make it nearly impossible to get rid of that debt. Due to the restrictions on the debt, it's difficult to get it discharged in bankruptcy, and it's difficult to get that loan canceled. So it's very important that students understand this. So the only options that the federal government has in the case of student loans is to garnish future wages, which is the collateral. You know, it's the earnings potential mm-hmm. of the student. It is important to understand the terms of your loan and keep copies of the loan documents. It is amazing how many students, when they get out, don't even know who their service lender is.
Yeah,
because they just
sign. Or what interest rate they're paying either.
Exactly.
It's amazing to me.
So when you sign that promissory note and you're agreeing to repay the loan according to the terms of the note, even if you don't complete your education, whether you can't get a job after you complete the program, or you didn't like the education received, you owe that money. So most college students will not be able to get through higher education without debt. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Okay, you just have to be smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're investing in your future. So the question is, how much risk would you be willing to take? And that depends on the belief in yourself and your future earnings potential.
Mm-hmm. And you can lower some of that risk by going for those scholarships so that you don't have to take as much in loans. So we're going to keep circling back to that.
Exactly. And I think that parents need to really push the students to do that, because the parents, this is one part the parents can't do.
Mm-hmm.
The parents can fill out the FAFSA forms mm-hmm. for the student, but they can't apply for the scholarships.
Yeah.
The students have to do that.
Yeah. And as far as borrowing, how much can we borrow?
Okay.
Are they going to let you borrow your entire education?
Oh, no, that doesn't happen. Okay. But and most students look to the federal government for financial aid assistance through grants and loans. And the way you do that is you fill out this form called FAFSA. It's the Free Application for Federal Student Aid form. And then basically the federal government offers low-cost student loans for students who meet certain criteria. There are two types of programs. There's the direct and the Perkins loan programs. And they each have their own eligibility requirements and loan limits and interest rates and repayment terms. Both of them provide loan options for both undergraduate, graduate, and professional students. The direct loans even have what they call plus loans for parents.
Mm-hmm.
You must be enrolled at least half-time working toward a degree or certificate to get the loans. And the direct loans are both subsidized and unsubsidized. And in the subsidized loan, the government basically assists the student in paying the interest on the loans while they're in school.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great opportunity. But typically, and we'll talk about that, is you have to be under a certain financial, your ability to pay has to be less than most.
Okay.
And in subsidized loans, the federal government pays the interest for you while you're in school and for a period of time after school ends. I apologize, that's subsidized. That's
right.
Subsidized, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in an unsubsidized loan, the interest accrues from the date of the loan, and the student is responsible for paying all of that interest.
So that can make a huge difference as well in the student debt that the student comes out of college with, because if it's subsidized, if they borrowed $5,000 at the end of their 4 years, it's $5,000. If it's unsubsidized at a particular interest rate, that $5,000 might be $6,000 by the time they come out of school. So that's another reason why they need to understand what kind of loans they have, what their financial aid package looks like. So that is part of the financial aid. When we talked about what is financial aid, that is a bit of free money almost if it's subsidized. But again, a lot of people don't qualify for the subsidized loans.
It's very difficult to get. More than 25% of the funds going to these subsidies are for incomes between $50,000 and $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And now that includes the parents' adjusted income,
mm-hmm.
Because they're dependents. Now, if they're independent of the parents, it's only based upon the student's income.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, you can't get, unless your income levels are very, very low, you can't get this type of subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
And unsubsidized direct loans are available to all students,
mm-hmm.
okay, regardless of financial need. So that's really important that everyone understands that. And regardless of your income level.
There's a cap on how much they give.
Correct.
Yeah.
You simply must just fill out that FAFSA form,
mm-hmm.
To be eligible. And the Perkins loans are really for people that exhibit exceptional financial needs. So these are very, very low income type of situations. So federal student loans have borrowing limits, which you asked me that question. And if you go on the student aid website, the government website, it will have this wonderful chart to explain to you the amount that you can receive. Now, the amount increases each year you're in school. The reason for that, of course, is that the expectation is the longer you're in school, the chances of you continuing and finishing are greater and greater. So the government's willing to take a little bit more risk the longer you're in school.
Oh, interesting.
So the total that you may borrow for the direct loans is all over the place. You have to kind of look at that chart. It's too much to go into now.
Mm-hmm.
On the Perkins loans, you can get a max of $27,500 for undergrad, and graduates and professionals can do up to $60,000. But again, that's for people with exceptional needs.
One thing I want to mention, when Luke called earlier and asked about consolidating his loans from 2004-2005, and I asked Luke to be patient. One of the reasons is because we're building up to this, Luke, because depending on what kind of loans you have, it might impact your ability to consolidate and what that would look like. So we're going to take our last break, and when we come back, we're going to get into student loan consolidations. We want to caution you on some of the student loan scams that are out there, and we're going to do that in the last quarter of our show. If you have questions, there is time. 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices on a lovely, beautiful evening. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I have with me this evening Loretta Tubiello-Har from Tubiello-Har and Associates. And I do want to mention that Loretta is also a certified valuation analyst, because who would guess it when you're talking so wonderfully about student loans and education cost, but a certified valuation analyst, you value businesses?
That's correct.
Yes. So that's sometimes very important for folks who maybe are entrepreneurs, small business owners, who it might be time for you to have a succession plan, and it might be worthwhile for you to do a valuation of your business to see, you know, how you're doing. So that's one thing that Loretta does. Loretta, we've been talking about a number of things. I do want to make sure that we have a chance to talk about what loan consolidations look like. But first, let's talk for a minute. We've talked about the availability of loans. There's some caps on loans. Is there a rule of thumb as to how much someone should borrow? Because then we're going to talk about, when it comes down to consolidating, why it's important to kind of minimize what kind of loans we're taking. I have a friend who got her PhD, took out so much loans, she told me she was going to die with student loans. So we want to talk about what's a rule of thumb, and then let's talk about what that loan consolidation process might look like.
Right. The rule of thumb is actually not to go into debt any more than you make in the first year of your work.
So you have to kind of project what a CPA or an accountant might make in their first year.
Correct.
And not take out more debt than that.
That's right.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Isn't that an
you
interesting?
You better go to a public university,
right?
Because the private college.
I know. But that's sort of the rule of thumb. And the reason why they do this is they say, you know, when you start to pay back that debt, it should never be more than 10% of your gross earnings.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're a teacher coming out from kindergarten to 12th grade, you're, you know, the average now is $37,000 nationally. So, you don't want to take out more than $37,000 of debt. And you're absolutely right. If you go to a private school, that's impossible. That really is impossible. But you take 37,000 times 10 years, that's 370 or 37,000, you know, 10%, you know, 10% a year. So that's really critical for people to understand that you don't want to borrow, you know, $200,000 to get into a public service type of arrangement where you might only be making $50,000 a year. You're not going to have the income and wherewithal with your rent or your mortgage, your children, everything else that, you know, comes along the pike to be able to pay that debt off.
Okay, so now we've come out of college, we have these student loans, and we're paying them, and there could be different kinds of loans, and we actually don't have enough time to talk about all the different loans, but it's important to talk about where some of these scams are coming in. When we talk about loan consolidations, typically we might be thinking of direct student loans, which I mean direct from the government.
Right.
So can we talk about what consolidations look like?
Sure. Sure. And to understand that you have opportunities to get different types of repayment plans, and you have to understand when you have these loans, each loan is, every year, it's a different loan. So you're in a situation where you might potentially have four loans for 4 years. And so you have payment plans on each of those loans. And you have this opportunity to basically consolidate these into a different and one payment, you know, basically one payment. They might have different interest rates. They may have, you know, so from that standpoint, the government allows you to consolidate them. So they're basically putting them all into one bucket for you.
So one of the questions for Luke might be, which kind of loans do you have, Luke? Because if he's going back to 2004, 2005, first of all, he's got to make sure he kept the paperwork.
Right. Well, but he would, the paperwork would probably be available through his servicing lender.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I don't think that's an issue. But if they are federal loans, he probably does have a chance to make a change, because there are opportunities throughout for repayment plans. And Luke, on the Student Aid website, if you type in repayment plans, it will give you all kinds of opportunities. So please go and look at them. Your issue is potentially that if these are private loans, you might have to do some sort of refinancing with them. You might not get such a benefit as you would if they were the federal.
Okay. So studentaid.ed.gov is the website to go to for more information on repayment opportunities, but there are different repayment plans that are available out there, but this is typically for the direct loans through the government then.
That's correct.
Okay, so there's a standard repayment plan, graduated repayment plan.
Absolutely. There's all kinds of repayment plans, and there's three repayment plans, and if you do not elect a repayment plan, you're automatically in the 10-year equal monthly payments, period. That's your payment plan. But you have an opportunity for two others that do not require any type of financial hardship. You can have what they call graduated, where you start out and say, look, I would like my payments to be lower in the beginning and higher toward the end of my loan, but overall you're still paying them over 10 years. And then there's a third one that allows you to, I'm going to just look at my notes here for that repayment plan. It does allow you to, it's called an extended repayment plan, where you are allowed to pay it over 25 years. That debt has to exceed $30,000, though. Okay. And so if you don't have the ability to pay it over a 10-year time frame, you don't have to state anything about financial hardship. You can just go in and say, I would like to change up this repayment plan.
Okay, so so if someone comes out of school mm-hmm. with loans direct from the government, which might have been those Stafford subsidized or Stafford unsubsidized right. loans, they could enter into these payment plans. If they don't elect a particular payment plan, it's going to be the standard payment plan, which is the same amount of money every month for 10 years.
Correct.
Or they could get into the graduated or extended payment plan. Okay, so that's for those direct loans. And your point, which was really good, was that you actually could have a different loan for four different years. So right. It could be four different interest rates. So there may be an opportunity to consolidate those four different kinds of loans. Perhaps the interest rates were all different, and someone might want to see if they could get a better rate. Not sure if they can get a better rate, but that would be that consolidation. Do they have to pay anything for that?
No, it is absolutely free. And here's the problem, and here's where the consolidation loan scams get into play. And this is what the PICPA has been really pushing to get out to the listeners, is that, you know, you don't have to pay to consolidate. This is a free application that you do through the federal website. So if you're contacted by someone offering to consolidate your loans for a fee, you are not dealing with the U.S. Department of Education's consolidation services, because it is free. You simply log on to studentloans.gov, then select a complete income-driven repayment plan request on the sidebar, and then you fill out the form online. That'll automatically go to your lender, and it'll be processed immediately. Okay, what happens is there's companies out there that are touting the Department of Education seal right on their websites.
Ooh.
It's horrible. So if they're, and so remember this, if they're charging you a fee, an upfront fee, they are not affiliated with the federal government. So college graduates right now are being targeted by advertisements for loan consolidation. The advertisements are on TV around this time of year because school's letting out. And since most debt has a six-month grace period after graduation, they're getting you now to try to talk to you about what you're going to do. You should automatically view student loan assistance companies that pay to advertise their services with skepticism. That's very important. It usually means that they're in a business for profit, and since you never have to pay to consolidate your federal loans anyway or to switch a repayment plan, that's a sign the services they are offering could be a scheme to mislead you into paying for something otherwise you wouldn't have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
You will many times hear them called student loan scams. They're not necessarily fraudulent, okay? They are just taking advantage of unsuspecting people that will pay an upfront fee for somebody to do the work for them.
Oh.
You can fill out the paperwork yourself. It's in practice, these companies usually just, that's all they're doing, is going into the government website and filling out the direct consolidation loan application on your behalf, and they're charging you for something that the government's giving you for absolutely free. There are some actual scams out there, though, that you have to be careful of. There's law firms that claim that you can be able to, they can settle your debt or service. They can get you student loan debt eliminated. That's impossible.
Yeah, I was going
okay?
to
that's
say.
That's absolutely impossible.
You can't even get out of it in bankruptcy.
It is a rare, you have to prove in bankruptcy that you never in your entire future will ever have earnings to pay off that debt. It's almost impossible to get discharged. So remember that you know, it can't be eliminated, you know, unless you have some qualifying reason. And if you come across a company that promises you that they can get eliminated, it's a scam. If you find yourself saying that it's too good to be true, it most likely is. Legitimate student loans, even with private lenders, do not require a fee up front. So remember that. If these are private student loans, there is no fee either. Now, there will be other kind of fee, like a default fee, or there's an origination fee of, I think, a 1% on the federal loans.
Mm-hmm.
But that's after you get the money.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're talking about, is these advanced fees that these companies are requiring you just to help you to consolidate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are legitimate nonprofit organizations out there that exist that help you to borrowers to navigate the landscape of debt consolidation, and one's called the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, the NFCC. It's even now launching a group of certified credit counselors to offer advice at nominal fees. So I think that's really great that because I think what happens is students get worried.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And they take the route of hiring these fraudulent companies. Or not fraudulent, but companies that are really scamming you out of advance fees. So some services that are advertising that are not affiliated with the federal government and that you should definitely steer away from are the Student Processing Center, Student Loan Processing Center, and notice how they're doing, you know, stating the national,
they sound official.
Absolutely. The Nationwide Processing Center, the SLC Processing Center, the Student Aid Center, Student Loan Resolve, the SL Program, Student Loan and Debt Consolidation, and the Student Loan Project. So avoid being reeled into these promises that you can lower your balance from a loan consolidation, because that's not true. And you do not have to make payments, which is not true.
So all wonderful information. We have 1 minute. Can you give me the website again for folks to get information about student loans?
Yes, the main website is the studentaid.ed.gov. To help you navigate through that, you can get the Definitive Guide to Student Loan Debt by Robert Farrington. For consolidations, there's a website out there called www.studentloans.gov, which you can get through the other student aid website as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. So much information. This is a phenomenal show, Loretta. I thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of this information that you have. I also want to thank Jim DeLuca from PICPA for bringing us together and bringing you here. So wonderful information. Folks, if you were only able to catch part of the show, or you have family members who would be interested in hearing this for their own students or themselves, it should be posted to the WDIY website probably within a week. You can listen to podcast, and that's at wdiy.org. Loretta, you are a CPA and a certified valuation analyst in Coopersburg. How do people reach you if they're interested in that?
Well, I have a website, which is www.t-hallc.com, and my phone number is also 610-871-8202.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, John. Next week, I have Michael Pyer, CEO of JetPay Payroll, Managing Human Capital and Advice for Millennials. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices. Thank you, Loretta. Have a great, great week.